union musicians gets to be a little tough, so let's turn them off. Okay. It's Jeff and Erica time again. It's Friday, and we have had this our third hour this week of trying to keep us all up to date on something that is quite clearly careening even more out of control, but in total control in terms of the masters of this genocide and their plans are concerned. But for us on the outside, trying to piece this together to identify dots that should be connected but aren't connected, we've connected quite a few. But the process of this whole operation is becoming brutal, and it is going where we suggested it would go. From vaccinants to people who look 10 to 15 years older in a matter of a month or two after taking these death shots, to people who are still unwilling and unable to accept the simple fact that they made a real bad decision. They will go to their graves not understanding that they made a bad call. And when that needle went into their arm, that essentially was the beginning of the end of their lives. At least in terms of their lives ending a lot more quickly than they otherwise should have. You there, Erica?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. We made it through another week. Almost.
That's true, and it's not a joke anymore. A lot of people don't make it through another week, and that's also
true. Yeah.
So I just don't, I don't know. And I do think this thing is out of control, but in total control. It's one of those weird things. Heads I win, tails you lose. They knew this. They knew everything. And there are people that we know by name who know everything that's going on, where this is going, where it's not going, and who's behind it and how it was put together. There are people who know that are in the public eye. And Fauci is one of them, obviously. We'll leave it at that for now. But this is not a surprise to any of them at all. It's working according to plan. It's a very ugly plan and a very deadly plan. And the amount of grief that we actually report to you each week is very difficult to do. But we want you to know what the mainstream media will never tell you, that people are dying all over the place and enormous wounds are being opened in those who survive or who haven't been shot up, that will never heal. This is a horribly inhumane operation that's going on. And I don't know how else to phrase it, but it is inhuman by any measure.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost unfathomable.
Okay. Now, we have a special guest coming on in just a few minutes. But before we bring him on, and he's been on once before, he owns a professional towing operation, and it's in Canada, but Canada, the U.S., it doesn't matter. We're in the same cauldron of death and horror and vaccidents. He was on earlier talking about vaccidents, and he contacted me. He says, can I come back on? And I assumed right away the obvious that he has more information. Now, we've been talking about this for some time, and we talked Wednesday a little bit about it, not a lot, but then we were talking off air about this and the idea that people are reporting joggers, people walking down the streets, people riding motorcycles. They're crazy. One jogger, what was the one jogger? He was, and they all have the same glazed look in their eyes. They don't know where the hell they are. Well, this one guy is running right down the middle of a street, I don't know if it was two lanes or four lanes, but right on the double yellow line.
This person said that they see this guy on a regular basis. I've got his post here. It's 6 a.m. every morning down the double yellow line, middle of the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
People have to swerve to avoid hitting him.
I don't know what to tell you. I do know that this is getting worse, as I said, and to be on the road now is to literally take your life in your own hands or putting your life in other people's hands, however you want to look at it. You've got to be careful. you really need to stay off that center. That don't drift. Stay over to the right. But even then, if somebody loses it, they die at the wheel. And that's happening. I can't name names or locations. People are dying at the wheel now, okay?
Yeah.
45,000 dead on America's highways and byways this year. That's up 17-18%, okay? These people are shot up, and they're dying, all right? Or they're losing it one way or the other. They're passing out or whatever. Their judgment is gone. Doesn't matter. All right, we've got a couple of quickies we want to read before we bring our friend Justin on here in just a couple of minutes. Now, I want to be sure, are we down at the bottom of that big batch you sent where we got vaccinants too? There's a couple stories, right? Just a couple. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we'll do that. Go ahead and take the first one. I haven't even looked at him yet, but just go ahead.
Okay, in my small town here in Texas, a man driving in a school zone in front of the elementary school had a, quote, medical event behind the wheel and ran over a crossing guard. She died instantly. I do not know his jab status, but I'm hearing about medical events behind the wheel more and more. It makes me fearful to drive.
Oh, my God.
There's a few responses to that.
He ran down a crossing guard and killed her.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Never mind. She's holding up a stop or a caution sign. Never mind. She's probably on the curb. Or she was maybe out in the middle shepherding children. I don't know. We don't have details on this. What do you have by way of comments for that?
Someone says, I'm in the UK, and I'm hearing more and more motorcyclists coming off or crashing into cars for no reason and dying. I don't know if they were quacked. I'm a biker of 45 years, and I've never seen anything like this. And someone to that says, there's a lot happening on the racetrack, too. Or a lot of this happening on the racetrack, too. Another one says, this is actually very scary. Does anyone remember when we were compared to drunk drivers? It looks like it really is the other way around. And he says, yes, we were, but we were 100%. We were right 100%. All my siblings are quacked and ill, but still won't say that I'm right. Another one says, I saw a bus driver swerving all over the place today like he was half asleep.
Is this a school bus driver? Do we know?
It doesn't say.
All right. Okay, well, there's our little... No. Yeah, a bus. Could have been an RV bus. All right, that's just a little tiny sample of accidents. Let's bring on our special guest, Justin, from Canada. We'll leave it at that, unless he wants to elaborate. Justin, thank you for contacting me and coming back on the program with us.
Hey, no problem, Jeff. It's nice to be back, and hello, Erica.
Hi, Justin. Good to have you back.
Yeah, indeed.
So, go ahead with your story, my friend. What are you seeing?
Well, the last month it's kind of been the same swerving cars and stopped cars. Some of the cars just stop in the middle of the road and the people are sitting there.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
They pull to a stop in the middle of the road and just stop? That's it?
Yeah, it's almost, they just stop and sit there. I've seen that. That's coming around. That's a new one, actually. I haven't seen that before, but I'm seeing it more often.
Did you go by? Did you drive by them? Did you look at them?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you see?
A lot of them are older. There's, most of the time I see that kind of stuff, it's senior citizens.
Well, were they just sitting as if they're just in a trance, staring? Were they ambulatory? What are they doing?
Just sitting in a trance, hands at 10 and 2, and they're just stopped.
So somebody comes along and isn't looking, and they run right into the rear end of them, and boom, cars explode, people die. Jeez. Okay. All right.
And another one is vehicles running into buildings. That's kind of there's actually a drugstore up the street from where I live, and I think it's been hit 5 times. They just keep putting plywood up on the window and right through the entrance,
oh, wow.
The car
Yep. Wow.
Well, he wanted drive-up service. Obviously, they did. They don't want to have to go in. This is crazy. All right, so you're seeing people swerve. Give me an idea. Are they swerving within the lane, or are they swerving in and out of the lane or across the double? What are they doing? How bad is it?
It's almost like they're maybe on a device, a cell phone. They kind of ride the middle line of the road, and then they kind of swerve back in and go back out. And then when you go to go around them, they're not on anything. They're just driving normally.
Is that what cell phone addicts do? They kind of track that yellow line and out of one eye, and then they can yak on the phone? Is that what they follow when they're on the phone?
They're texting or typing, and then they kind of look back and they correct themselves really fast. And I don't know. It's been getting a lot worse lately. Another thing is a lot of these EV vehicles burning up. A friend of mine that owns another towing company was saying a lot of these electric vehicles are malfunctioning. I don't know if they're self-driving, if Google's driving the car or Tesla's driving the car, but they seem to be driving more erratically.
I despise EVs. I don't like them. We don't need them. Those batteries are all under the seats in the cars, for the most part, or in the back. And when they ignite, if anybody's in there, they're toast, because those batteries will burn for an hour or more.
They will.
Firefighters can't put them out easily.
And in Canada, coming into the winter months soon, it's right around the corner. I can't believe how bad it's going to get. We get a lot of snow here, a lot of slick conditions, and it's this year especially has been the worst.
When you go to an event to pick up a car, and there hasn't been an accident necessarily or whatever, and the driver's maybe a AAA member and so forth, are you noticing different behaviors in some of these people who are calling to be towed? How do they strike you?
They're a little more short-fused. I noticed that with the general population.
Yes, indeed.
After these pill shots have been rolled out, especially this year. Last year, and there was an article that I read just in our area. I'll read it to you. It says, members, it's OPP, it's Ontario Provincial Police, they monitor the rural areas and the highway traffic in our province. So it says, members of the OPP in Central Region have investigated 7,565 road collisions this year. It's 41 fatal compared to 23 this time last year. That's a 78% increase, and 864 collisions resulted in personal injury. 7 motorcyclists have also lost their lives this year compared to 3 this time last year on OPP Central Region patrolled roads. And the funny thing is, it's a good article, I believe it, but there's another one. It says, the top contributing factors for injury and death in road rage collisions continue to be speed, inattention, impairment, and improper or lack of restraint use. Nothing about the kill shot.
Of course not.
No. Right? You didn't put your seatbelt on, it made you drive like a flaming moron, and crash. Look, this is the cover-up is obvious. It's not going to go away. It's going to get worse. The number of people killed here is running around 45,000 a year, 3+ million injured a year. And it's an okay thing. It's just part of life and death in this country. And I guess it's the same attitude up there. People just kind of accept it. It's the way it is.
Yeah, we have a low population here, like just in our region, 7,500 people this year, and it's up 78% from last year. I think that the shots have finally worked themselves in to these people that took the booster, the third shot and the fourth shot. A lot of, they pushed it really hard here, and now they've all taken them, and as a result, you see the accidents, you see odd behavior.
And you only have 7,500 people in your area?
Our city is about 400,000, but just kind of, it was kind of the outskirts of town where the OPP patrol. Okay. That's not even a city. That's just
rural
areas, the highway.
Yeah. Okay, a question about the motorcyclists. Are they getting hit by other drivers, or are they just losing it?
Not motorcyclists, like cyclists, bicycles.
Bicyclists, okay.
Yeah, bicyclists
I don't understand why they would do that. Go out on a road literally inches away from something 65 miles an hour going next to you.
Oh.
I don't get it.
I've even seen them on the highway, right on the shoulder, driving down the road, pedaling down the road.
Wow.
And they have been hit multiple times.
I've never seen
that before. Maybe they can't afford a car to get to work, or I don't know.
Well, I think that's, at least here, it's illegal to have ride a bicycle on a interstate highway many highways.
It is illegal.
Yeah, same here.
But they don't care.
And then you have cars swerving around them, and it's just...
Mm. Sure.
It's crazy. They'll do anything to get where they have to be. So.
Motorcycle riding. What were your stats on that? Did you have any?
They're not too bad, actually. There's not very many motorcycle collisions here at all.
Motorcyclists, really. Bikers have always been, I've always felt, among the safest drivers of all. Maybe the safest, pound for pound for pound. They know they have to be careful. They cannot screw around. The only ones that do are the ones with these crotch rockets, and you can hear them sometimes at night, you know, winding out through fifth and sixth gear, and they're doing 85 or 90. One guy about a mile from where I am, he screwed up, and he was in pieces all over the road, apparently.
Mm.
He just lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Leg off and all that, gone.
Mm.
So, yeah, interesting little footnote. I don't know if it's still the same, but several years ago, more U.S. Marines died on those crotch rockets than died in any other Marine incident in the Marines. More on those bikes. So, but the bigger bike, you know, the Harley guys, they're smart. They usually are very careful. Very careful.
I noticed with the Harley drivers, they wear all the leather and the pants. And you see the guys on the crotch rockets, they're just wearing a T-shirt and shorts.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So it's a different subculture for sure. Now, mm-hmm. as far as wrecks you've been to and you've hauled in cars and so forth, anything different about those fatals?
I do not deal with fatalities. There's a large company in our city that just the police deal with them. But I have noticed a few of my friends have seen them, the wrecks that are fatal. And people aren't driving 1975 Ford LTDs anymore. They're small, compact, foreign cars they just crunch and obliterate everything.
Well, they can bury them right in the wreckage that way. See?
They do. Yeah.
They have
a covered flatbed truck that they pull the vehicles into. So you can't, people driving by can't see the mm-hmm. blood and everything. But I see that truck driving around all over the place.
You all know this. You cannot go out on the road in a subcompact anymore and expect really to be remotely safe. You're not. In fact, you're probably a factor of 5 to 10 times more at risk now because of the shots. And these little cars, you've got nothing around you. Now, Justin, you see them smacked up, and it doesn't take much to turn them into a pile of tin cans. That's it.
Even a minor fender bender, it's the whole car is a write-off.
So, right.
My life, I like a big vehicle, the V8. I've always bought vehicles, larger vehicles. I just like them. They're a little more on fuel, but it feels like a good, solid unit driving down the road.
Well, you want something around you. I have an old 97 Land Cruiser, the last six-cylinder model I made. Love it.
Oh.
I've had three of them, and it's solid.
The best.
Yeah.
And you have the reliability, too.
Yeah, Great car. I'm very happy with it. All right, Justin, anything you want to add? That's a really helpful update from you, and we'll stay in touch. Anything else?
No, that's about it, Jeff. Thanks again for having me on. Yeah, I'd like to come back on whenever you need. Just let me know.
All right, just keep me posted. When you have some more update material, just let Erica and I know.
I will.
Okay, good night, Justin. Thank you.
Good night, Jeff.
Good night, Justin.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, you've seen swerving people. I mean, you tell me. You see things that are not very comforting sometimes when you're out.
Yeah, the thing I noticed the most is people hesitating. They come to the end of a road and they're waiting for traffic, a break in the traffic to pull into the road, and they let cars go by, and then for some reason they just pull out in front of somebody without, you know, sufficient space, or they don't wait for them to go by. They just said, some particular moment they step on the gas and then they cut somebody off, and I see that a lot lately, a lot. And then I myself had a real near miss. What was it last week sometime? I was in a rotary roundabout, which a big one, not a little one, about two lanes wide. And not a particularly busy one, but there was somebody waiting. You know, you're supposed to yield to the traffic that's in the rotary. And I was making my way around, and all of a sudden this person just pulls out right in front of me, into my lane. Never saw me. And, you know, I don't drive a little car. I mean, you know, and there wasn't, I mean, it was clear view. There's no reason or no way this person couldn't have seen me, unless they were impaired in some way. But that was real close. But it was just, you know, complete lack of judgment.
Well, when I talked to you, you were, I won't say shook up, but you were not happy.
Yeah, I haven't had a near miss like that in quite some time. That got my attention.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it was a near miss, not
well,
a
you've got to okay. be, you've got to be anticipating that
all
kind
time.
Of behavior.
More than ever now. These people are, here, I'll say it again, and it's not popular, but people who have had several shots really should be evaluated and examined as to their driving competence. I hate government. I don't like even to say it, because they will not take themselves off the road. They won't do it, no matter how screwed up they are in the head.
And chances are they don't realize that they're impaired, just like a drunk driver. They don't think they're fine.
Denial. It's total denial. Denial. Okay. All right. So all of you out there, again, please be careful, extra careful. No joke. Don't assume anything, because these people are not looking for you in many cases, not like they should. This is not the way it's done anymore.
Mm.
Okay. We have a lot to do here, so let's get moving. We've got Dr. Merrill Nass has written a very good article. It's not very long. Dr. Merrill Nass debunks the SARS-CoV-2, quote, virus isn't real myth. And this is the virus deniers again, but she took them on. She made no bones about it. Let me see if I can find the one part. Well, she makes several points here. One, are you on this page? Can you get there? Young lady. Erica, did you get cut off already? Jeez. See? Right when I start to do something again, it's always something different. It's something interesting. It's a transitional moment in the program. And they cut her off. It's fun for them. How you been?
Good.
That's nice. All right. I've got Merrill Nass article.
Mm-hmm.
They're just several little parts here. I don't know if you have it pulled up or not, but it's very honorable and courageous on her part to tell the truth, which she always does, as far as I know. She's an excellent voice to listen to and to read. She writes one of 4 points. There has been tremendous falsification of information on almost every aspect of the pandemic. Amen to that. I don't think there is much question about that, and I understand that it makes people appropriately suspicious about the reality of the virus, too. Particularly when people with MDs and PhDs after their names claim it doesn't exist. The virus deniers. Number two, I'm willing to go on record to say that Andrew Kaufman, MD, a psychiatrist, not a molecular biologist, who got his undergrad degree in the same department I did at MIT Biology, who is quoted in the piece, is wrong and ignorant, as are others. So that's her response to the virus deniers, especially the SARS-CoV-2 deniers. She writes at number three, here's the key argument. I have challenged those who deny COVID is caused by a real virus to explain what exactly is causing these symptoms if it is not a virus. One suggested, it's just toxins. Another said, it's 5G. Well, she says, toxins in 5G and exosomes are not contagious, but this disease is. Follow that? Second point, it has a very predictable incubation period, averaging about 6 days. Third point, properly used PPE protects the wearer from exposure to the viruses. Point four, it causes mostly similar symptoms in those who get very ill. Point five, the syndrome, while relatively unique, is similar to that caused by SARS-1 back in 2003. Final point, the illness responds well to antiviral drugs. Patients get better quickly when viral killing protocols, including hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, are used early in the illness. These simple facts, Meryl Nass writes, along with the arguments I have made in the two linked blog posts, confirm, this will be up in news headlines, confirm that we are facing an infectious disease, and it is caused by a virus. And the fourth point she makes, hundreds of thousands of whole genome sequences, maps of every nucleotide in the virus, RNA, have been uploaded by scientists in scores of countries to international databases, each with its own local mutations. You would need to isolate and grow these viruses in order to sequence them. Saying that all these sequences are false requires that thousands of scientists are lying together about the work they have done. Since these scientists are from the U.S., China, Russia, and everywhere else, getting them all to tell the same lie would not be very simple. And one more. Did this virus originate in a lab? Almost certainly. Was it spread deliberately? I don't know. It could have been accidental. If it was spread deliberately, who did it? I don't know that either. And finally, if you approach this question by asking who had the means, motive, and opportunity to commit such a crime, we can at least begin a discussion. Dr. Meryl Nass. So, well said, and that'll be up in news. If you want to share it, pass it around. But the virus deniers are running a psyop. Anybody with a brain knows that now. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as I said before, it's tedious and irrelevant to even be having that conversation at this point.
And it's, yeah, and well, that's what it's designed to do, to be tedious and irrelevant.
Yeah, it keeps people, distracted and not focused on what they should be focused on and understanding what you're dealing with.
Did you send me that one with the 35 or whatever points? I can't find it if you did.
I did. I don't know if you got it.
Do you know, remember what the name on it was?
Yeah, let's see.
I've got a whole bunch of things here for you. We won't get through them all, but these are important because they're telling a story that you will not hear anywhere in the media, because it's not the media of news and information. It's the media of distraction, programming, mass mind control, and deceit. And there are a few decent people in it, but if they are beholden to a big corporation, they're on a leash. It may not be quite as short as some, but they're on a leash. So you got to keep that firmly in mind.
Okay, it was dated, this particular email was dated August 21st, titled, Just One Example of One Person Tracking the Dying.
Okay. He didn't load it. It's not here.
Okay.
All right, well, let's go ahead with it. You got it. I don't have it. It's a good one. Somebody wrote to me and passed this along, and what it is... somebody was saying that these stories are not true, blah, blah, blah. And I believe it's a woman. She wrote back and said, well, let me just share my personal experiences with you in terms of people I know and what has happened to them. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, this person says, apparently you have been unable to find an association between the COVID vaccine and the 25 million injured. Let me start by telling you. One, my friend's 25-year-old firefighter son died within 6 hours of his second Moderna shot. I included a picture of his vaccine card and his obituary. Two, my daughter's flight attendant friend died mid-flight from a heart attack after the shot.
Mid-flight.
Oof. Three, my brother-in-law suffered a heart attack 6 days after receiving the booster. The doctor said it was the largest clot that he's ever removed in the 10 years he's been doing this. Four, my daughter's co-worker's husband, as in multiple, developed shingles and AFib after receiving the shots. Five, my daughter's co-worker developed heart issues and had to wear a monitor. Six, my daughter's co-worker developed an all-body rash that she's had for more than a year. Seven, my daughter's friend, a NICU nurse, says that instead of the typical loss of 6 to 8 babies per year, they'd lost 20 in 9 months, and mostly from strokes or clots. She's convinced that it's a result of the vaccinated breastfeeding moms.
So strokes and clots are killing little babies. This is astonishing.
Yeah.
And this should be a lead story on any honest news service that there is. This is unheard of, unprecedented. This is disgusting. Note that these are all connections to the author directly or secondhand, things that she knows about. Go ahead.
Eight. My other daughter's a radiologist, and she has seen an increase in aggressive breast cancers in young women. Nine. She has also seen late term, as in 39 weeks, stillbirths. 10. My daughter's friend suffered a miscarriage after receiving the vax. She had conceived via in vitro. 11. My brother-in-law's friend's CLL, cousin, I don't know what that CLL, that had been in remission, oh, a type of cancer, had been in remission for 20 years, came back with a vengeance, and he died. 12. My daughter's boss's 18-year-old son's best friend died while they were playing basketball. Imagine giving CPR to your best friend at that age. 13. My daughter's co-worker's husband died from bile duct cancer after receiving the vax. That's considered a very rare cancer. With that said, my brother-in-law just died from bile duct cancer as well. And my friend's cousin was just diagnosed with it and sent home to die. And one more person we know has bile duct cancer. Please explain that.
Liver bile?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Incredible.
Yeah. 14. Too many people with no previous health conditions have died unexpectedly. Too many to count. 15. My friend's daughter's coworker, 30 years old, died at home while working out, leaving two young children. 16.
Excuse me. She's at home, two kids. She's working out on some exercise device and drops over dead.
Wow.
Okay.
16. My friend and her two sisters all developed cancer within a couple months of receiving the vax. Two breast cancers, one colon cancer.
My friend and her two sisters. My friend and her two sisters. Three sisters.
Incredible. 17. My friend, Susanna Newell, Google her name, was a triathlete. And after the Pfizer shot, she could no longer walk without a walker, and now she's on disability. 18. I'm part of a group of vaccine injured, and many of them are suffering from tremors, heart pain, neurological pain, extreme fatigue, and brain fog. How much more do you need before you'll see an association? There's still more. 19. In February, my daughter, the radiologist, had a 34-year-old patient following up biopsied breast lesion from when she was pregnant 6 months earlier. She got her first shot in January, still pregnant. 6 days later, there's an X-ray for fetal autopsy because she lost the baby at 33 weeks. That cannot just cannot be coincidental. You don't just have a third trimester miscarriage with no known complications. 20. My friend KJ's husband work really pushed the shot, and he had two coworkers die in the same week.
Two. Uh-huh.
21. Friend CM had a normal mammogram 9 months earlier and now has stage 4 breast cancer. 22.
It's so fast, this cancer. There's no immunological function left to fight it. You're gone.
Well, you know, because that spike protein interferes with two critical DNA repair pathways. Or
53?
Yeah, the P53 and that BRCA1 gene, which seems to be an integral component to controlling for breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and pancreatic cancer. And we're seeing a lot of that. Okay, 22.
By the way, if you missed it, Mike Tyson apparently has had at least three shots, was seen in a Florida airport today, or Miami airport, in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
Being pushed around. So there's another one. I can't prove it, but it sure looks like it. He's very proud of his vax stuff and, you know, Bruce Willis type of thing. And he's gone.
Yeah.
Not dead yet, but he's...
Yeah.
You know. Go ahead.
Okay, 22. Daughter's patient suffered a heart attack followed by a blood clot. The doctor from the Mayo Clinic contributed to the shot. 23. Daughter hearing about a lot of autoimmune diseases, specifically rheumatoid arthritis, multiple people, and although we can't say for sure it's from the shot, it is suspected. 24. Friend, Kate, after just one shot, has been in AFib for 18 months. She suffers from an enlarged heart, burning feet, neuropathy, vertigo, and bone ache, and much anxiety. Walking can be difficult at times.
One shot. Her heart is enlarged now, AFib, and all the rest of the things. And this is not making the so-called news. You all understand you are being conned and deceived and lied to on a scale that is unprecedented. We have no journalism anymore in this country. It's all owned and operated entertainment. That's all it is.
Indeed. Okay, 25. Friend, NS's son, suffered pulmonary embolism that the doctor attributed to the shot. 26. Friend HR's brother-in-law suffered a seizure on a flight and now sees a neurologist, possibly early onset Parkinson's. 27. Daughter's co-worker's mid-28 son currently undergoing evaluation for new onset arrhythmia. 28. May 2022, daughter had a 23-year-old, 14-week pregnant woman CT for TIA symptoms. Patient got the shot in November. 29, August of 2022, teacher at our local school, quote, died unexpectedly. 30, friend CD's husband lost his job because he refused the shot. His previous coworker died while on a Zoom call. 31.
Hey, how you doing, Fred? You're looking good over there. Fred, where'd you go? Fred, did you fall off your chair? Can't see you anymore. Fred.
Oh, incredible. 31. Family friend's daughter, Vicky L., a marathoner who only missed 130 days of running in 31 years, died in her sleep from a brain hemorrhage after the shot.
You can't. This is a major motion picture. It'll never be made. This is crazy. These are all connections to this one writer. People she knows about, or is related to. Unbelievable. Go ahead.
Okay. 32.
I'm sorry. Do that last one again.
Family friend's daughter, Vicky L., a marathoner who only missed 130 days of running in 31 years, died in her sleep from a brain hemorrhage after the shot. Incredible. 32. Sister-in-law has suffered from tinnitus since receiving the shot. 33. Brother-in-law had increased blood pressure after his first shot, was treated, and still got the second shot, only to deal with high blood pressure again. And last, 34, friend, GJ's friend, was hospitalized after the first shot and was told not to get the second. Keep coming back because I continue to get more updates. This is so very sad and must be made public.
Good luck with that. Never be heard anywhere but here, unless it's read on social media. This is, you know, the ones that are the most horribly black-humored are the ones where the people who are dying or on the way out, and they say, if I'd only gotten that second booster in time.
Yeah, I know.
People say this. That they cannot come to terms with the fact that they've screwed up.
No. There are repeated examples of that. They literally are not making the connection.
They won't. They can't. Their ego won't allow it. They can't say, I killed myself. I trusted them. They can't do it. I don't blame them. I don't.
It must be a tough place to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we had a couple excerpts here from people that were forced into taking the shot, and now they're seeing what's happening, and it was really sad.
All right, where do we want to go with the readers here? We've got about 5-6 minutes left.
Let's do
crematorium.
Oh, let's do hairdresser. Okay. Hairdresser 1, hairdresser 2.
Okay. All right, hairdresser 1. Thank you for accepting me in the group. I have lost count of the number of clients our salon has lost in this last year. I alone have lost 9. And I'm assuming she's stating they're dead. I tend to do younger hairstyles, meaning I don't do the old lady roller sets. My average client age is 35. This has been a devastating year to watch my clients slip away because they believed a lie, and their families don't see it. Some of my coworkers don't see it. I've been a hairstylist 20 years, and in that time, I have never been to so many visitations and funerals for clients in my 20 years as I have this last year or so. Not to mention the clients I've lost that have suffered extreme hair loss since taking the quack. They have nothing left to style, so there's no need for me. It's just heartbreaking, and I'm so angry about all of this. That hair loss thing is apparently another big one that gets virtually no mention. I understand people's vanity and self-esteem. They get a wig, and otherwise they'd be ashamed. I get it. Go ahead.
Yep. I own my own beauty shop, and most of my customers are older clientele. Most of them took the quacks. One of my dearest customers went into the hospital, then into the nursing home. I got the chance to do her hair in the hospital and led her into a prayer of repentance. She lost her life a couple months ago. So many other of my clients have had heart issues, strokes, and blood clots. Trying to wake them up is a challenge, but I am on a mission from the Lord to do so. I keep a bottle of anointing oil in my shop and pray a prayer of faith over them to be healed. Only lost one so far. So sorry for all the losses on this page. Prayers for all. Plead the blood of Jesus over all of your family members. Jesus is the only answer.
Well, not taking the shot would have been a good answer, too.
People
don't listen. Many of them were told by people that they know and care about in great earnestness, don't do it. Read this, read that, look at this video, and they wouldn't do it. So, you know, where do you draw the line in terms of responsibility? I don't know, but it's certainly a mixture in many cases. Okay, what's next?
Let's see. How about regret number 4? It's kind of long. We might want to save that one.
I don't even see it. Oh, there it is. Let's see how long it is. No, we can do it. We'll just split it up a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you for accepting me into this group. I have looked for a group like this for nearly a year now since my nightmare began. I'm in the U.S. A year ago, I was an active career woman with a bright future ahead. Now I sit here broken and scared of my future with no idea what to do next. It all started with a sales meeting where my boss informed all of our department that he insisted that we get quacked and that we were all idiots for not doing it already. I expressed to him at this time my concerns and why I had chosen all of the way up to that point not to do it. He still insisted. So off I went to go against my will to save the best job I have ever had, and so I could continue to provide for my family. This was around August 1st of 2021, a year ago. Within a week, my life was upside down. Tourette's-like movements, migraines, fatigue to the max. By August 29th, almost a year ago exactly, I was having full-blown seizures and horrible stabbing pains all throughout my body, along with uncontrollable shaking and all of my previous symptoms as well. At this point, my employer is aware that the quack has done this to me and has let me officially start working from home with a promise to take care of me. Fast forward to the end of September, when my employer decides to let me go through a text message. Yes, literally did not even have the decency to look at me in the eye when he did it. But let's move on. Fast forward to November. Let me breeze through this real quick. And I am officially diagnosed with epilepsy and fibromyalgia. At this point, money is running tight due to paying medical expenses out of pocket, along with normal living expenses. Fast forward to January. Seizures getting worse. I've had a bad one and end up falling in my kitchen with concrete floors. MRI reveals my back is broken at the L5 and S1, and a disc is completely crushed. At this point, I'm completely broke and on Medicaid. Therefore, waiting on an approval for the surgery takes time. It is also decided that it will be a complicated, lengthy surgery, that they will have to coordinate two surgeons on the same job. So it took until June 7th to finally receive my spinal fusion surgery. Now I walk with a cane constantly. I have partial paralysis in my left leg and horrific nerve pain throughout both legs. The doctors do not know if I will ever regain feeling. As for now, my seizures and tremors seem to be under control, with me taking two different medications twice a day. As for the pain, I take gabapentin three times a day and tizanidine at night, but I always still feel it. These meds just slightly dull it. I do have a lawyer actively trying to obtain my disability for me, but no success as of yet. I do not know where to go from here or what resources might be available to me. Any help or suggestions would be amazing and appreciated. And if you read down this far, thank you for caring to read my story.
How tragic.
Another life destroyed.
Destroyed.
And the sons of bitches that did this knew exactly what they were doing. Exactly.
Mm. Yep.
No arguing that at all. All right. Say goodnight, Erica. We got to go. We're running late.
Okay. Good night, everyone. Have a good weekend. Thanks, Jeff.
You got it. And we both feel the same way about all of you. Thank you for being here. Take good care and be safe.